Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Phillips, and joining me is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello, we're back to Altered Geek. Yes, it's been like 2-3 weeks now.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think this is going on week 3 that this is released. But it's a monumental time because the podcast has been around 7 years.
Really?
Yeah. I started it like a week earlier than ATTF.
Yeah.
Which is
2012,
funny.
Though.
Yeah. Well, I started in 2013, the podcast. I started the video show in 2012. And then it just kind of sat dormant for like a year after 3 episodes. And then I was like, what do I do with this name? And then I was like, oh, a podcast. Actually, it was Mike Powers that was like, hey, you should turn it into a podcast. It actually started off as Geekcast Radio Unplugged, and then it morphed into Altered Geek Unplugged, and then to Unlimited to Altered Geek, because it just sounds cooler and it's shorter. So yeah, it's been crazy. And then, you know, since we're talking about, you know, time frames and everything else, I was going through, and I mentioned this to you off air, that I noticed the website kind of looks stagnant.
Yeah.
With some of the content. And I was like, huh, what do you know? It is a little stagnant. And so I went the route of looking at old Geekcast Radio layouts on archive.org. And I was like, okay. And I went through every iteration and discovered versions that I liked, that I didn't like, and then pieces from each one that I liked and didn't like. And of course, I love the current design of the site, but I would say that our most successful version was when we were on version 3.
Yep.
Which was right around the 5-year mark.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then we got the Sahifa theme after that, and it worked okay to begin with. Mostly it didn't work because it was bootleg, the theme. That's why the menu had all kinds of glitchy issues. And then we switched to a number of themes throughout that. Some of them I had totally forgotten that we'd gotten as a theme for the site, and they were terrible. But I looked at version 1 and 2, and I was like, okay, I get it. You know, some of the stuff worked, some of it didn't. A lot of it's just very basic. And that was sufficient for that time. And then looking at V3, I'm like, okay, I got more graphical with it. Some of it was automated, some of it not. But I did take some elements from V3, namely the way that the slider and the interviews thing at the top is set up. And then, of course, latest content, how it drops down, which I took from there, and then the categories and archives thing on the sidebar, because I was like, okay, those things were kind of useful in the old one, and it just was better to be streamlined instead of trying to, oh, what category do I need to go to on the website today? Yeah, it just got too busy, whereas this, I think, is a lot more streamlined. You get your, you know, your recent posts, you get your interviews, you get your podcasts, and then it goes to, you know, some of the latest articles, but then, which that section will probably change, not going to lie, but that's just strictly articles for the moment. And then there's latest content, which is pretty much everything. Little bit of redundancy, but, you know, it's not horrible. I do love the Blast from the Past section.
Yeah.
Having some things just randomly show up. You can actively see on some of this stuff now the whether people have commented on it. I brought the comments back to the main page, the donate and support back to the main page. So, yeah, there's a little bit of everything coming back little by little to the main page for sure. And it's it was, like I said, it was an adventure to go through the old versions of the site and kind of decide, you know, what sucked and I will never do again. And what things and what things were like, okay, you know, it's good. With the new version, like I don't need to revisit, you know, this said content. So yeah, it was cool. And some of the images, believe it or not, like the donate with PayPal thing, mm-hmm. I could not find them.
Oh no.
the funny thing was, is I pulled it off the archive.org. And I was like, that's I designed funny. This once upon a time. Here we go. Slap.
Yep.
And it works again. And then the looking for a partnership thing, the join the network thing, when you click on any of the posts, it'll take you internally and it'll show you the recent posts. It'll show you the recent comments. Looking for a partnership, join the network. I created that new, cause honestly the old one looked like garbage and I couldn't find the one I made like a year or two ago. And I didn't really want to spend the time to find it. So, and then I put the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram on there, on the sidebar. But other than that, you will find zero ads. I cleaned them all off. I just, yeah, I wasn't going to cater to that garbage anymore. I still will try and get the subscription thing.
The funny thing about all this, yeah, the funny thing about the ads and the this and the that and the whatever, even the podcast ads that we end up putting in or sometimes I end up forgetting to do and it ends up cutting it off like within a minute of the show starting and playing a second ad, I don't think we've ever seen any actual cash from any of that stuff. Like having the ads on the website basically did nothing other than take up space.
The ads on the website did zip. Literally did zip. I think we got one thing one time from one of the in podcast reads that we did.
And honestly, personally, I find, I don't care who's doing it. I don't care what, like, you know me and most of the listeners know that I gravitate towards certain voices and then I separate myself from certain voices if I don't like how the voice sounds. I don't care what voice is reading an in-podcast ad. If I start reading about, hey, you should really go check out Amazon, blah, 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 for blah, 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 I find that so fake and so, like, it takes away from my enjoyment of what I'm listening to.
It depends on if the host is passionate about whatever they're peddling. That's the difference. If you can tell, like, that they're clearly just pushing an ad because they have to.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that, like, a show that shall not be named would talk about politics and then talk about Casper mattresses. Okay, what do mattresses have to do with politics? Absolutely nothing.
Most politicians do sleep around, so you know, there is that.
Yeah. You know, you get comfy beds for when you're, you know, taking money from people. But I don't know. It was like when I was doing the Gamefly thing. Now, granted, there were benefits to it, to the Gamefly one.
Yeah.
The other one, I can't remember for the life of me what it was, Loot Box or Loot Crate or something.
Loot Crate, I think it was, yeah.
Everybody's doing it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
When everybody is doing it, they don't do anything, because when a smaller, you know, more niche podcasters get involved in that, unless you're one of those big celebrities or you're a YouTuber or somebody that's made their money and made their fame.
Kevin Smith, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not even that. Like, there was, like, Superhero Beatdown and, you know, Warp Zone and Screen Junkies and some of these other ones that would use stuff like that, and we don't have that kind of notoriety, and so honestly people aren't going to sign up through us, they're going to use them, and so it's pointless to have it in there, whereas like the ads that are auto inserted into the podcast because of our hosting of our files, we do get a cut of that, and it's, you know, based on people actually listening to the podcast, and like I said, it's not a lot. It's enough to cover hosting and domain charge. But
yeah, we're not getting sufficient. Rich off these ads, folks. We're not getting any ad you may hear in any of these podcasts on the Geekcast Radio Network. we're not raking in money. It's just purely at this point to get the, like you just said, the website cost, the hosting cost, yeah, whatever, to get that.
And
paid
honestly,
for.
It came in handy when I needed to go legit, and I bought the theme for the site, when I bought plugins for the site, when I lost my job, the renewal came up at the same time.
Oh.
And I got charged for it. But thankfully there was money in that account. So, again, it came in handy. It saved me when I was broke. Because even if I would have had to lose home internet, the site would have still been able to function. Which was kind of the main concern there. And so, so yeah, suffice it to say, it's interesting to go back and look at how far we've traveled and what's changing, what's not. I know that a majority of our content is on some kind of a mass hiatus if it's not a retired show. Like, just looking at the dashboard here of our hosting, you know, this show had an episode, you know, a little over 3 weeks ago. ATTF about 5 months ago, Cinema Geeks 4 months ago. And there's been other ones, you know, Future Imperfect from the Command Center like 4 months ago.
I mean,
and
honestly,
so like majority
from the
of
Command
them are retired, yeah. But yeah, I mean, well, other than Powers of Grayskull, Altered Geek, and like Mayhem Mike's in the Pull Bag.
Yeah.
There's really no other active shows on the network right now.
And I do want to do more Geekcast Radio stuff. I really do. It's just, again, it's time. I've said this for years. Life comes before podcasting, but people have to understand, whether we're talking about an overall large topic like 80 years of Batman, which is this year, or whether we're talking about a comic review or a cartoon review or whatever review, whatever it is, like, we have to research it. Like, if doing reviews, we have to watch it or read it or whatever, listen to it. We have to take that time. We then have to record talking about it. We then have to edit the show and then get it online. We have to put the ads into it. And it takes time. And lately, because of life, there hasn't been a lot of time. Like, I jokingly say I'm lucky I've still got the Pullback going. I mean, luckily, Optimus Solo and I have pre-recorded up to episode, I think, 116 or 117 of Powers of Grayskull. And right now, we're about to release episode 112 next week, I think, kind of a thing. Pixels in the Animation is ending. I just released the third to last episode. The second to last episode comes out, I think, this week. And, you know, it just, we're not where we were 10 years ago when we started this thing. Everything has changed. We're all married.
We're all married.
Some of us have kids. Some of us don't. You know, we move, we deal with health issues, we deal with, you know, some people have had pets pass away, things like that, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely been different, I will say that.
Yeah, it's absolutely been different. And also what's been different is, you know, I mean, I will always, no matter which time zone I live in throughout this United States, I will always most definitely default to Eastern. But I live in the central time zone right now, so I'm an hour behind what we normally do, kind of a thing. You moved from Michigan, which was eastern, all the way out there to Colorado, which is mountain, so you're 2 hours behind everything. I often joke that if Karen and I ever end up fulfilling her dream and moving to Oregon, which is on the west coast, I'll be like, ooh, I can record my podcast at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, and I'll be fine, because I got 3 more hours that other people don't have, kind of a thing. But it's like, we all live in different time zones. We all are doing different things. And it's hard to keep up with content. That's why I said over on ATTF when we recorded episode 166 of that we just released, certain podcasts are going to have to be when we have something to talk about. not all of them. Like, you're still going to find topics and things to talk about here on Altered Geek. Like, you can always find topics to talk about, whether you're doing a show by yourself, whether I'm here, whether Powers is here, whomever, whether you get, you know, Dot on or whoever it is. You know, Altered Geek can always be an evolving thing because it's a topical show. It's not a review show. It's not a this show. It's not a that show.
Yeah, it's the beauty of the name Altered Geek. It just, it obviously alters depending on how I feel. You want to know what's fun? Mm-hmm. Really funny, though? The very first episode of this podcast aired August 2nd, 2013. This episode will air August 2nd, 2019.
Yep, 6 years to the day.
Yep. It's epic.
Yep.
Epic, epic, epic.
Because even though I wasn't on that first episode, which is fine, that wasn't the point. The point was you started this with Powers, with Michael Powers, so, you know, whatever.
It's going to be really difficult to recapture some people I've recorded with in the past just because of my time zone change.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does.
It does. You know, we wanted to have him here tonight, but, you know, we're recording this at almost midnight, 1 a.m. Eastern, 12 midnight Central, which is 11 p.m. Mountain. So it's like, you know.
It's I would have to start at 9.
Yeah.
Well, even I'd have to start at like 8 something to get him here at 10.
Yeah. You'd have to start at like 7 or 8. Yeah.
Here, let me jump over the county line.
Yeah, really.
But it's definitely changed everything. And it's gotten this weird evolution, like I said. And so, I don't know. It's going to be a journey, and especially to see what shows come back on our end, just depending on life.
Yeah,
there's going to be some shows I'm probably going to retire, or the concepts I'm going to retire, or I'm going to hand them off, because honestly, I don't have time.
Right. Yeah.
And
you now have a full time job that you love, that you put all your
energy,
hard work and effort into, obviously, and your energy. Yeah. You know, you have a wife and two kids. That's a lot. A job, a wife, and two kids. That's a lot to deal with, and I understand, and I think I would hope most of the listeners understand that. Again, I'm going to say this until I can no longer, my voice leaves my body and I no longer am able to be heard. Life comes before podcasting. We can't just get together two or three times a week and record anymore. I understand. Again, I understand. It's life. It's whatever. This is the second time you and I have recorded in 6 to 7 months. Like, we've recorded two times in the last month and a half.
Pretty much.
And before that, it was 6 to 7 months where we had not recorded anything. And, you know, it's one of those things where we used to talk on a daily basis, whether it's on the phone. I mean, we still talk daily basis, whether it's Twitter, DM, or Facebook, or email, or whatever. I mean, it's not like we don't talk to each other anymore, but like, we used to talk on the phone on a daily basis when the network first started, and because of jobs and things and whatever, it's just not possible. You know, it's just not. And the older we get, sadly, the more responsibility we get.
With age comes extreme responsibility.
Yeah.
I know that. With age, I know that doesn't go
there. Great responsibility.
With age, you get responsibility.
You young whippersnappers, get off my lawn with your hippin' and your hoppin'. Pull up your damn pants, you morons.
Yeah, hippity hoppity.
Yeah. We still love it? Absolutely. Just, we don't have the time for it like we used to. I mean, even me, okay, take me for example. Yes, I don't work, but I do plenty of stuff around the house. I do all kinds of other stuff. I still get to do the podcasting that I want to do for the most part, which is fine, but we may end up moving to Oregon. So, you know, trying to sell the house, trying to do this, trying to do that. If we get an offer on the house, trying to pack the house up, you know, doing all of that and everything else, that takes away from all the time that I just meant, like I just mentioned a while ago. Podcasting isn't just sit down, record a show. Not the way I do it anyway. Because I'm reviewing something, I'm taking a look at something, I'm talking about something I love. I can't just sit down and do it without having to, like, most of the cartoon reviews that we've done on Powers of Grayskull and on Tooncast and other shows, nowadays, I'm watching the episodes maybe 5 or 6 hours before that recording. I can't watch an episode of a cartoon, 3 or 4 episodes of a cartoon on Monday, and record that show on Wednesday and still remember. I would have to watch the cartoon again before that. So, like, the pullback. I love comics. I love reading comics, but I read comics in order to record the podcast. I'm not going to sit here and read Transformers Galaxies number 1, which comes out in September. I'm not going to sit there and read it when it comes out and then record the show a week later. That's just dumb. So it all comes down to timing, folks. You know, 6, 7 years for Altered Geek. And I mean, I remember when you guys started, video show, audio show, whatever.
Yeah, I remember that too.
The big thing at the time was, hey, guess what's coming in 2014? It's going to, or no, 2012. It's going to be Batman v Superman, and then didn't come for 4 friggin' years.
It was pretty funny. That was the very first episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
We were talking about that. And it's crazy. So it was, like I said, it was interesting going back and looking at old versions of the site and kind of going from there. I was talking to somebody about something. It was about like programs. Oh, that's what it was. I was talking to somebody at work and they were like, we were discussing, you know, whether we had a TV in our living room or how much television we watched, or used to watch. And I was like, you know, funny, cause they did a podcast, on one of their main shows, about men and their entertainment, habits. Mm-hmm. And, I was like, man, I would love to be on that episode, but, there might be a part two at some point. I have a feeling, but, they were like, yeah, I don't watch all that much, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, we don't have a TV in our living room. It's downstairs for, you know, workout purposes for my wife. But, I said, I, you know, would watch all of my TV, you know, while I'm working on something on one screen, I'd have it playing on the other one, which in most cases is correct. But I used to watch 27 different shows and they're like, you used to watch that many? And I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, I used to probably watch more than that. You know, cause depending on what was on hiatus at the time, it was just a pretty consistent number. And so I was like, yeah. And as shows ended, as they got canceled or they just, you know, had a natural series finale, I was like, I quit watching. And then I just vowed never to pick up more. Now, granted, occasionally one would hit the radar, you know, it would replace something. But in most cases, when something goes away, I don't replace it. And I've done pretty well on that because, you know, again, this year, like certain shows that I've been watching are going away and I won't be replacing them. Albeit I'm going to watch Trek Picard.
So we'll talk about that in a minute. As far as me and TV goes, like my wife and I still watch most of the shows we've been watching, but I find myself dropping a lot of shows anyways. It's time. It's like everything I've just already talked about in this episode about time management. It's time, but it's also, I don't want to dedicate myself to anywhere from 8 to 22 episodes of any given show that's new to me unless I absolutely love the premise. Like, I don't even want to watch pilot episodes anymore because it's like, you look at the TV landscape today, the broadcast TV landscape or the cable TV landscape, you know, you don't have shows like stupid Unnatural last 15 seasons anymore. You have shows that may, you know, mostly the broadcast networks are guilty of this. NBC, most definitely. They'll premiere a show like The Playboy Club, which was a couple of number of years ago now, or My Own Worst Enemy, or Knight Rider 2008, whatever. And they'll have it go for a season. And if it doesn't do well enough, they'll just let it go. So why am I going to get invested in something that is eventually just going to disappear and is not going to have any kind of longevity? As a kid, I watched Cheers and The Cosby Show from the time I was 4 until the time I was 12. For the Cosby Show specifically, ran from 84 to 92. And that's 8 years of my, 8 or 9 years of my life, of my young life, that I watched a show consistently with my mom. You don't have that kind of television anymore because television has evolved. We now have things like Hulu and Netflix, and every network has its own app and everything else like that. So I find myself going back to shows that are still on Netflix that I love, like Person of Interest with Jim Caviezel and Michael Emerson and a few other people. Or Numbers from CBS. That's on, I think that's still on Hulu. Like, I'll watch these series like 3 or 4 times. I'll just watch, like, basically like what reruns are, except thankfully with Hulu and Netflix, there are no commercials. Because I pay for the services, obviously. But yeah, I find myself getting back more into nostalgia television than I do checking out anything new anymore. I don't know.
I guess I'd be curious to find out what the listeners have encountered as far as that, whether there's shows that they go back to or whether there's, you know, a point where you're like, okay, I'm watching way too much, or I'm not watching enough, or, you know, do you get invested in programs, you know, rather easily and pick them up, or have you watched as many as 27 at the same time? Like a crazy person. That was when I was recording a lot of review content.
Yeah, you were.
Not only live television, but pre-records for review shows. Yep. Plus, I had DVDs coming in the mail all the time, which they don't seem to do that anymore.
Yeah, no.
I tried at one point. They don't send you DVDs anymore. Nope. Or Blu-rays. They're like, no, you can go buy it yourself. See ya. Yep. But, yeah. They're like, we don't need you anymore. So, yeah, I mean, I would be curious to hear what other people have to say on that. I personally, like, it's just, it's gotten easier to just drop things because I just don't have time. And when I have time, it's, you know, like, I'm, the one site I was writing for whatever reason, they haven't contacted me back. Like, I mean, they were going through some kind of a financial issue because they were letting people go left and right when I was there, which was interesting too. When I was doing the freelance writing, and they didn't honestly pay all that great for the amount of time you had to write on articles that you may not have actually been knowledgeable about, which is what I like about the new site that I'm writing for, which I was writing for commando.com before. And I mean, I like some of their content. There's nothing wrong with it or anything. I felt like I was sometimes disingenuous writing about some things that, you know, like Apple products when I don't own one. I mean, I own an iPad. Right. I own an iPad, or not iPad, iPod, an 8 GB iPod Touch, and that's it. I mean, I have a Mac at work, but that's, you know, I'm not a Mac user. I'm a PC user, so, and an Android user, which is what I like about LifeWire is, you pick your articles. They don't assign them, you pick them.
Yeah.
So if you're not knowledgeable about iPads or iPhones or Apple products, you don't assign your name to it. If you know about Windows and you know about game consoles, or you know about, you know, Android and you have a way to demonstrate it, or you have the latest software, then you can write about it. So that's what I like about it, is if I'm, because I don't feel like I'm disingenuous writing about it because I know about it.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to know about stuff. It's much easier. Yeah.
And there's no like, I mean, you might have to do a little bit of digging and research, but you're not doing like, I was spending more time than what I was getting paid to research articles for the other site. And it was just, it really wasn't worth it when all of a sudden done. I mean, it took me through and paid the bills, but it just wasn't great. And that's what I like about this other side gig is now is that it's literally going to be side cash. And I should be closing at my house this week. And if I do, Mary gets a minivan and I get a computer.
Well, there you go. That's awesome.
Yes. So I'm stoked. I'll have to put out my my list on Twitter of what I'm planning on piecing together. I've spent months. Well, not months. I haven't put all that much effort into it. It's just more or less just seeing what kind of hardware I can get for a budget. So, cool. And I want a new case, which I don't need, honestly, but it has mounts for all the hard drives that I have in my tower. They're all hanging. Cool. They're all hanging by cords inside my current one.
Oh Lord. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff that I've talked about in this episode has been like time management and things like that lately, because I've needed certain escapes and stuff from recording, editing, whatever. I've still kept up my pre-production thing with the pullback. Like, I have all of next month's stuff recorded except for one segment and one episode, so I could essentially edit the 7 or 8 episodes that are supposed to come out next month already. But I find myself listening to podcasts again. I know you've talked about this recently in the last couple of years. I don't listen to every single thing. I will find something, latch onto it, and listen to it. This to me is a huge podcasting accomplishment. It's on the level of us requesting an interview with Mark Hamill. For 6 years, the entire lifespan of the pullback, I have been asking Mike Laidman from This Week in Geek, and currently now he runs Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads with his buddy Chris Blonsky. I've been asking him to do a pullback origins episode. We finally reconnected. I finally got, sure, yeah, let's do it. Come to find out, I don't have the origins questions anymore for the pullback. I have the origins questions for all things Transformers, so I had to recreate the entire list of questions for the pullback. And Mike and I recorded that episode, and shortly after that, because I want to, you know, he's my friend and I want to support what he's doing, he and Chris have released 44, well, now, as of this recording, it's probably 45 or 46. At the time when we recorded that episode of the pullback, there was 44 episodes of Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads out there. I listened to all 44 episodes within 5.5 days. Yeah, I'm nuts, and I have no life.
You turned into a monster.
I know, right?
You made me this way. I gotta learn Malcolm McDowell's voice.
Yeah. I listened to Mike and I listened to Chris, and honestly, I remember back in the day, you and Michael Wilson said we should do a dad's podcast. Yep. That's essentially what Mike and Chris have done.
Yep.
Part-time nerds, fulltimedads.com. Or it might be, anyway, I'll have you put the link in the show notes. It's really fun. It's very interesting. Basically, the podcast starts with episode one when their wives are still pregnant. They're not dads yet because their wives are obviously still pregnant. They go through the whole thing of being in the hospital and giving birth and yada, 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 all that. And then they talk about nerdy stuff and baby stuff. And it's very, very cool and interesting and fun. Through my other friend, Jesse Jackson, who does the Set Lusting Bruce podcast, it's a Bruce Springsteen podcast. He turned me on to a show called Music Talks with Terry Smith. Right now, there's only 3 episodes of this. Basically, guests choose a song from each decade of their lives and tell Terry how they went about making their choices and why the songs mean so much to them. So, basically, you pick a song from every decade that you've been alive. So, for me, 80s, 90s, 2000s and 2010s. You know, that's just interesting to me. It's super fun, and the 3 episodes that he has out so far have all been very, very cool and very interesting. The format is fun. It's honestly the most refreshing podcast I've heard in a long time. So I will have you and everyone else check that out as well.
Yeah, so I guess before we go off too much on the crazy train here, and I mean like crazy train in the way that sometimes we get derailed real easy, and it's late. I still have to write an article.
And we still have to talk about Picard.
Yes. So the trailer for Admiral Jean-Luc Picard dropped for Star Trek Picard for the SDCC, which I know they're doing a Star Trek celebration thing starting tomorrow on through Saturday. So it's a big news drop. It's July 31st through like August 3rd. So they're doing a giant news junket on everything and interviews and everything else. So they're going to have the full cast of that. They're going to have, you know, because they've already revealed, aside from Patrick Stewart reprising, Brent Spiner's coming back as Data, although it doesn't say to what capacity. From everything I've read, he's not in every episode. So there's three different options here, because they do show B4's body, which is Data's basically his oldest brother before Lore was created,
right?
Who's also the most obsolete out of the androids. They in the Countdown comic before the Abrams 2009, which was written by Kurtzman and Orsi, funny enough,
right?
They had Data get revived in B4's body and become captain of the Enterprise E. And Picard was ambassador to Vulcan, and Data was, you know, they you know, Geordi had taken time off Starfleet to work on the positronic brain to get Data's to resurface, and then before kind of deleted himself, and Data reasserted himself in the body and kind of took over, and so Data was reborn essentially, and he also was able to interface with the Enterprise and create holograms of himself on the ship to man stations that he previously could not have done, you know, in previous tracks. So there's that method, which they're not going to go that way. That's already been retconned in essence, because the way that Picard's talking is that, you know, Data made the sacrifice. So they show B4's body, and that's definitely his body tore apart in there. There's three different thoughts behind this that are rational. I've read irrational and rational ones. One of them is they do put B4 back together and Data does resurface. Albeit he has to stay at like Starfleet temporarily, or he, you know, something until he's fully acclimated, which wouldn't be until like a season 2 thing. That's one method. Two is, Picard is, I don't think they're going to go the flashback route, so I think he's talking to Data on the holodeck, because he refers to him as Captain.
Yeah.
So there's that. Or Data is back as a hologram, where they transferred him, much like the holographic doctor from Voyager. It's hard to say what until we see more footage. But that's one methodology there. Two, they're also going to, they have Seven of Nine back, who's more humanistic, than she was in Voyager. Granted, this is 20 years later, so go figure. Then Riker and Troy will be in it, albeit, very short, and he won't be the captain of the Titan. They're saying that they're non-militaristic, which means that they probably retired from Starfleet too, due to whatever the same thing that Picard, you know, probably left for. So we'll get at least that much of a reunion this season. Season two, they're talking about Robert Picardo returning as the holographic doctor, or Dr. Zimmerman, one of the two.
Yeah.
And, very cool. And then there's no, and then LeVar Burton might join in later on season two.
Maybe. You never know. I mean, I like the trailer. I think the trailer is interesting. It keeps it, you know, mysterious enough, but you know, you also have, like you said, the Seven of Nine thing in there. And you've got all these new crew members as well. And you've got the line of, you know, we want to make sure you remember what kind of captain you were, whatever the line is about him remembering, you know, what kind of captain
you may
he
not
was.
Remember
and
who
I think
you are, but we remember.
But we remember, yeah. I like that. I think that's cool and interesting. Again, if this was on Hulu, which I already pay for, sure, I'd watch it. Until it comes to Hulu or until it comes to DVD, I'm not paying for CBS All Access. I'm not paying for any.
It's not going to be on All Access.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be on Amazon.
No, it's going to be on it says in the trailer, on CBS All Access in the U.S. and Amazon in other territories.
Okay, I thought it was the other way around.
No, it's CBS All Access.
Yeah,
at least that's what I saw in the trailer.
The trailer,
sorry, folks.
No, I'm pretty sure it's going to be on. I mean, it says CBS All Access, but I'm pretty sure that, it's going to be. This is coming early 2020. It doesn't really have a definitive, but it looks like it's going to be on CBS All Access. But I know they said something about Amazon is going to get it too. So, either way, I'm. This is about the only way that I would revisit Trek, aside from the fact that they made Discovery jump 1,000 years in the future, so it'll be the first Trek to be beyond anything we've seen. Although this one continues like continuity of that we remember from 20 years ago, so I'm more attached to this than the other. And then there's talks that they might have a another prequel show with Captain Pike and Spock and Number One, which. That I wouldn't mind just because of what it is. Just because it's exploring, you know, Pike, who we've never seen, you know, other than Discovery for the most part. So that I don't mind either. But the Picard one is probably the one with the most pull for me right now. And then they have Hugh that played a Borg in 3 episodes of TNG as well, reprising. So. It'll be interesting. I'm kind of stoked for that and looking forward to it. And I love the makeup job they did on Brent Spiner to make him look like Data again, because he's got white spiky hair and he looks pretty old. I mean, he's 70.
He kind of looks like you said he has white spiky hair. He kind of looks like his Independence Day counterpart, except that guy had long hair at the time. The little crazy mad scientist dude in Independence Day from 96.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Star Trek Picard is expected to premiere in early 2020 on CBS All Access in the U.S. and run for 10 episodes. Like Discovery before it, each episode of the series will be broadcast in Canada by Bell Media, on the same day as the All Access release on the specialty channels Space in English and Z in French before streaming on Crave. Amazon Prime Video will stream the episodes within 24 hours of their U.S. release in over 200 other countries and territories around the world. This is different than Discovery, which is released internationally by Netflix. The deals with Amazon and Bell for the series were made by international distributor an international distribution arm of CBS Studios International. So it is, here in the U.S., it is basically only on CBS All Access. And I'm not paying for any... I don't care what show it is. I don't care if it's Star Trek. I don't care if it's Game of Thrones. I'm not paying for any one additional service just to see one show.
You want to know what's funny?
What?
You save up for the free trial.
Yep.
And then you blitz it, and then you're done.
Yep. And then you're done. Yep.
They're trying to get people to stay on the service with creating a Star Trek universe. And having like Lower Decks, which is actually named after a TNG episode. It's something reminiscent of something I would do of, you know, name your series after an episode. Like Legends of the Dark Knight. That was an episode of Batman the Animated Series, and I named the podcast that, and it kind of worked. And Lower Decks is an episode of season 7 where, you know, junior officers around the ship, it follows them for the duration of the episode, and that's what the animated series is going to be, is basically that. And so it's kind of funny that they're going that route, but that's not something I'll tune into anyway. I don't really care about the whole animated side of it. And then they're going to have another one that's basically like Starfleet for kids on Nickelodeon.
If we ever did do a, and I know Future Imperfect is your thing, is your Star Trek thing that you do. If we ever did do a Star Trek review show, it's going to be called The Relics. Or whatever that episode was that Scotty comes back in.
No, it would be Future Imperfect.
No.
Yes, Future Imperfect's the name of an episode as well.
Yeah. But you, the you relics use... also means that we're getting old.
No, and that's a lame name for a Star Trek podcast.
Star Trek relics. Nah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You shouldn't have to say Star Trek, you know.
Sure, you should. Just like you're supposed to say podcast in every podcast.
No, you're not. No, you're not. That was like such a like 2005 thing. I never was a fan of putting podcast in the name of my show. That's why there was always something else in there. Anyways, so yeah, either way, I'm excited to see this come by. So,
yep.
Anything else you'd like to say before we take off?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Alrighty then.
7 years. Who knew this show would still be around 7 years? Who knew All Things Transformers would be around 11 years?
Yeah, I would not have guessed that, to be honest. But, you know.
We're getting too old for this stuff.
Yeah, time is surprising. So,
time
anyways.
Time is depressing.
Yeah. So, until next time. Get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.